I wanted to tell everybody I am really proud of you for yesterday. The Good News Cruise was just beautiful. Gorgeous day. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. And everybody who served, I guess we gave away 500 hot dogs yesterday. And there were 122 vehicles registered and some that slipped by us. And lots of people here. And I heard stories and saw you talking to people. And I know you were planting seeds. And we'll pray for that harvest to come in. My line yesterday was, I'm collecting prayer requests. Is there anything I can pray for you? And a number of people said, yeah, you can pray for my mom, or you can pray for my daughter, or I've got this health issue. And so I think that we touched our community yesterday. And I'm, as your pastor, if you can be proud, in a good way, I'm very proud of you. Praise the Lord. One person asked me, well, how can you give this away when so many churches are having such a hard time right now financially? And I said, well, we've learned that when we give, the Lord gives back, and that He has supplied all of our needs, and we just learn to shovel things His way, and He shovels things our way, and He's got a bigger shovel. And so, oh, that's interesting. So, praise the Lord, and way to go. I am so proud of you. Before we open our Bibles today, I want you to do something for me. I want everyone here to grab a Bible and hold it in your hand, okay? Everybody grab a Bible, hold it in your hand. There's pew Bibles in the rack in front of it if you don't have one. Most of you hopefully brought one of your own kids. Do you do this too? Grab a Bible, okay? If you have, maybe you don't carry a Bible now, you carry a phone and you got your Bible on your phone, go ahead and get that out. Scroll over to the Bible, okay? All right? Open it up, okay? Everybody doing it? You are so privileged to do that. You are so fortunate. You are so blessed among people on earth today and throughout human history because of what you hold in your hand. What you hold in your hand is the Word of God. And not only do you hold it in your hand, but all of you have it translated into your own heart language. Your own mother tongue. Does anybody have one in front of you? You can't read it because you don't know that language? Now everybody's got one right here in your heart language. For 1,000 years, the Bible was chained up. Literally. Only churches owned copies of the Bible, and they were translated into a language that very few people could read. Latin. And the one copy that a church owned would be literally chained to the wall so that nobody would steal it. But now you are holding one in your hands. And that's what we're going to learn today in 2 Timothy 3. We're going to learn about. I invite you to open that Bible now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. Today is Back to School Sunday when our students return to classrooms, hallways, lockers, desks, teachers, and textbooks, right? Books, 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 books. But there's no other book in the world like what you hold in your hands today. I remember when I first got to Moody Bible Institute when one of our professors, Dr. Bill Marty, took a pile of important books and he stood in front of the student body and he read the title of each one and then he tossed it across the stage. It was a little startling to see him treat books like that. And then he got to the bottom of the pile and there was a Bible. And he said, this book is not like those books. This book is the Word of God. And that's what we hold in our hands. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Paul was leaving this life. He knew his end had come. And he was headed to meet the Lord of the universe, what we just sang about. And this letter, 2 Timothy, is his last letter in the Bible. And Paul, in his last letter to his protege Timothy, told Timothy to stay faithful to the gospel ministry. And this is his instruction for Timothy and applies to us today, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16. Do you have it? But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray for our Oaxaca missions team. It is so exciting to see them come together and see them all here on the stage, and to think of them getting on a plane and going to some place that's very different from what many of them have ever experienced before, and sharing your love, especially with those little kids. Just like Anton Johnson shared your love with Andy when he was a boy, now Andy is going to share your love with them and all the rest of the team. We pray for blessing on them as they prepare, and we pray that all of us would be prepared to share the Word of God, because we have this Word in our hands. You have spoken. You have had it inscripturated. You've had it written down for us and then translated into our heart language. And today we hold it in our hands. What a privilege. How blessed we are. Help us to understand how blessed we are and then what to do about it. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's one of those passages that everyone should have at least verse 16 memorized, because it says so much about what the Bible itself is and what it's for. Let's read it again. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So there's only one command in this passage. It's in verse 14, and it's the word continue. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. Continue. The command is to continue in the teachings that Timothy has already received and has built his life upon. And these teachings, Paul says, are found in this book we hold in our hands, the Bible. He's saying, build your life on the Bible. Build your life on the teachings you've received from the Bible. Don't leave them. Don't depart from the teachings of the Bible. Continue in what you've learned and become convinced of from what you hold in your hands today. Why? Why did Timothy need to do this? Why do we need to do this? You'll notice in verse 14, Paul begins with a but. But as for you, there's a contrast going on. Timothy is supposed to stake his life on the Bible in contrast to false teachers that he is to stand in opposition to. There are all kinds of other things out there that you can build your life upon. Jump up with me to verse 1 of chapter 3. Paul says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, which we know have already begun. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. So you see all these alternatives that you can get caught up in. Doesn't that paragraph just sound like cable television? That's what Paul is contrasting what he says in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. Don't build your life on those things. They won't satisfy. They aren't true. They aren't lasting. They aren't satisfying. Build your life on the Word of God. Why? Verse 14. Because, first of all, you know those from whom you learned it. You know who your teachers are. Probably all of you who are going back to school know who your teachers are, right? You know who your teacher was last year. Paul says, you know who your teachers were. Well, for Timothy, it was his mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice. Chapter 1, verse 5, tells us that these two godly women were full of faith before Timothy was, and they passed it down to him. By the way, that's a great encouragement for those who are unequally yoked and still trying to raise Christian children. It can be done. And then secondly, it was Paul who taught Timothy the faith. Look up at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Remember those names from when we studied the book of Acts? He's saying, Tim, you know me. You know I'm the real deal, and you know what I've taught you is true. Build your life on it. Put down roots in this truth and never leave it. And not just because you know whom has taught you these things, you also know the Scriptures themselves. Verse 15. Continue of what you've learned to become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you know your Bible. And you know what's in it. You were taught it at your mother's knee. Build your life on it. Build your life on what you hold in your hands. I remember the time at Moody Bible Institute when I decided to do that. I had been struggling with the reliability of the Scriptures and whether or not I was going to submit to their authority over my life. And it came to a crisis point for me. I had always a general knowledge and respect for the Bible. My parents taught me the Bible. They took me to church. But I hadn't really ever put myself completely under its authority and staked my life on it come what may. But at that time, I reached a point where I decided that I would believe it and live it, and if God would allow me, to teach it to others. And I've regularly come back to that commitment. Continue. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What you now hold in your hand, make the blueprint of your life. Then he gives three reasons why. Here's number one. Because what you hold in your hand gives the true path to salvation. What you hold in your hand gives the true path to salvation. Notice that Paul reminds Timothy that the Holy Scriptures, verse 15, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, interestingly, except for this and possibly a few other letters, there weren't yet any New Testament Scriptures for Paul to be referring to. He was primarily referring to the first half of your Bible, that Old Testament, the Old Bible. That's what Timothy would have been taught from his childhood and what he would have had to read. And Paul says that those Scriptures are able to point towards salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, who isn't named by name in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament points towards Jesus, and it does so faithfully, reliably, dependably when you read it. There's a new book that came out this month called Jesus on Every Page, 10 Simple Ways to Seek and Find Christ in the Old Testament. That's one of the reasons why we're going to read 1 Samuel starting next week, because we're going to seek and find our Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Samuel. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So do you want to be saved? You need to read what you hold in your hands. This is where we find the true path to salvation. This is where we're made wise to get saved. There are a lot of false teachings out there about how to get saved. Even about whether or not we need saving. The Holy Scriptures, though, teach us the true path to salvation. And the name of that path is Jesus Christ. The way of that path is faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. The Bible says that trusting in Jesus is the only way to salvation. The good news that the perfect Son of God became a sin-bearing man who sacrificially died for sinners like you and me and was raised to new life to save them from their sins and give them eternal life to His glory. That's the central message of the Bible. That's the gospel, and that's what we are trying to share with our community yesterday. any other path to salvation is a false path. Number two, what you hold in your hands is God-breathed. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. I love that little phrase, God-breathed. The English word we use to kind of get that across is inspired, right? Inspiration. But it means more than just inspiring. So I like that the NIV says God-breathed. It means the Greek word is theopneustos, which is a lot of fun to drop at a party, right? Next time you're at a party, say, well, I think the Scriptures are theopneustos. Theo, God, neustos, breathed. The Spirit, inspirated. And it means they're sourced in God. They come from God. The Scriptures are God's Word. See, we can build our lives in the Bible because it supernaturally comes from a God who knows everything and has revealed Himself and His plan beautifully through His prophets and apostles and other Scripture writers and can be trusted completely. I mean it when I say this is God's Word. Now, that doesn't mean that God didn't use men to write the Bible. He did. At least 40 authors over a 1,400-year period. It's a library, really, of books written by godly humans utilizing their unique personalities, situations, and thoughts. This was written by Paul. But God did it. And through them. He did it in them and through them. He superintended the whole process so that what was produced is, in fact, God's Word and not just the Word of man. 2 Peter 1:21 says, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Greek word there for carried along is the same word as the wind filling the sail of a boat. Do you ever see a boat go somewhere? And the wind kind of, and the sail kind of fills with wind and off it goes? Okay. So did Paul get the boat into harbor? Yeah, Paul was at the tail. But the Spirit was blowing and made sure the ship got where it was supposed to go. The Holy Spirit filled the sails of the Scripture writers to take them to the destination He desired. It's God-breathed. That's what you hold in your hands. A book that's God-breathed. Now, that's not what the world says. The world says the Bible is merely a human product of fallen men, which actually hides the truth. It's just a myth. It's just another religious book. It's just like the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Book of Mormon. That's what the world says. That's a lie. But many people want to believe a lie, even people who are in churches. Chapter 4 says in verse 3, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You see that every day. He says, but as for you, verse 14, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because what you hold in your hand is God-breathed. And third, what you hold in your hand is useful for all of life. Look at verse 16 one more time. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful, King James, profitable, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love this passage of Scripture because it tells us how very practical the Word of God really is. It's useful, he says, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness is uprightness. It is what is right. It is what is good and pleasing to God. We cannot be righteous on our own. We need Christ's righteousness reckoned to our account. But after we come to Christ and get His righteousness as a gift, He begins to work out His righteousness in our lives. And what is true of us positionally becomes increasingly true of us practically. And the Bible, what you hold in your hand, is one of the God-appointed means of growing in practical righteousness. Easier way of saying it is just the Bible tells us how to live rightly. It tells us how to live lives that work, lives that please God, lives that are wise and righteous. It's street level practical. It tells us the most important things that we need to know. It's useful so that, notice this verse 17, so that the man of God, you and me, may be thoroughly equipped, not just kind of equipped, for every, not just some, good work. So you know we're supposed to do good works, right? Not to earn our salvation, but flowing out of it. How do we get ready to do those good works? How do we get equipped? Paul says, it's what you hold in your hands. All Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what Christians call the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. The Bible does not say everything that is true about everything. 2 + 2 = 4 is true and it's not found in the Bible. But it tells us the most important things we need to know about everything we need to know. The Bible is sufficient and useful for all of life. Parenting, the Bible's there, right? Notice the four ways here that Paul says it's useful. Look at verse 16 again. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I think of it this way, as teaching is showing you the path you're supposed to go. Beyond. The Bible does that. Rebuking is like that stop sign saying, whoa, you've gotten off the path. Stop. You've got to go back. Correcting is turning us back onto the correct path. Okay? He doesn't just say, hey, find your own way. Correcting is how to get back on the path. And then training is how to stay on that path in righteousness. The Bible is sufficient. It's useful for all of life. So many people do not seem to believe this. So many Christians don't either. If you have a problem, do you run to the Bible for answers? Or do you run somewhere else? Pop psychology? Oprah or Dr. Phil? Dr. anybody? The government? Your unbelieving friends? Facebook? Google? Yeah, that's where I'm going to get wisdom for life. Christians build their lives on so many other things than the Word of God. We need to repent of that and begin to build our lives on the sufficient Word. So here are three points of application. If what you hold in your hands gives the true path for salvation, is God-breathed, and is useful for all of life, and I think I'm preaching to the choir, we all believe that, right? What do we need to do? We need to do at least three things. First, read the Word. Because this book you hold in your hands is not magic. It is supernatural, but it's not magic. It does not work by osmosis. If you hold it in your hand like this, it's not going to do anything for you. Okay? Even if you do this, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to do this and this. Right? So many people, they got their Bible. It's on the coffee table. Right? Maybe they treat it with lots of respect as a book. You know, wouldn't put another book on top of it or something like that. The Muslims put their holy book on a high shelf and nothing's allowed to go above that, okay? Christians, we read it, okay? We read this. That's the only way it's going to get into us. And I don't mean just a little verse or two a day. If that's all you can do on a day, that's fine. But we need to read and study the Word of God. Remember, it's a feast. We don't just want to nibble at the edges. We want to take it all in. Notice that Paul tells Timothy to continue in it. He says that Timothy knows it. Timothy knew his Bible. He's known it since he was an infant. Do you know it? Do I? So often I feel weak in the Scriptures, like I'm just starting out. We need to get the Bible into us. Read all of it, it says. Notice he says all Scripture is God-breathed. And he means all, Old and New Testaments, not just the easy parts. Are we involved in regular systematic reading and studying of the Bible? If we aren't, we're not growing. Guaranteed. That's one of the reasons why we're going to start 1 Samuel next Sunday. We're going to dive back into the Old Testament. We're going to see what God wants to show us today about Himself, about ourselves, and about the Lord Jesus. As we study 1 Samuel, we'll be pointed towards salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And we have the same focus with our new Sunday school classes starting up next week for both kids and adults. And the teen one keeps going. And then youth group's going to, and ABC kids and Kids for Christ start up the next Wednesday night. And what's the subject every week? Bible. Because it's useful for all of our lives. What you hold in your hand is holy, inspired, inerrant, and sufficient. It's the authoritative Word of God. What plan do you need to put in place this week to begin? Somebody asked me this week, I need a Bible reading plan that gets me deeper in the Scriptures than just a little devotional thought for the day. Excellent. What do you need to do to get into the Word this week? Second, heed the Word. Don't just look in the mirror, like James says, and then turn away. Don't just read it and say, okay, that's good. Now I'm going to do what I feel like. I'm going to do what the world tells me to do. And that's no good either. Jesus told a story about that, didn't he? Kids, you know this song? The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And the foolish man built his house upon the what? Sand, right? Tale of two houses. One on rock, one on sand. Now, which one of those houses encountered a storm? They both did. I can't fool you. That's right. Both of them encountered a storm. So whether you build on the rock or the sand, you're going to get a storm. Okay? Storms are coming. The rains came down and the floods came up, right? The rains came down and the floods came up on both of them, both houses. But the outcome was drastically different for the two houses, wasn't it? The house on the rock stood firm, right? It didn't fall. What happened to the house built on the sand? Crash! The difference wasn't the storm, it was the foundations built upon. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, heeding the word, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That's somebody who might have the whole Bible memorized from front to back, but they didn't build on it. They didn't do it. They said, I'm going to do it my way, not his. And when that storm came, destruction. Heed the Word of God. Is there some area in your life right now where you're in disobedience to the Word? When that storm comes, will you be ready? I'm amazed at the number of Christians who do not make the Bible the standard of their life and choices. In a little bit, we're going to sing, He is Lord. As if the Bible doesn't have anything to say about families or priorities or church or relationships or work or education or whatever. People just ignore it. Well, it's fine for Sunday morning. Great. But it has nothing to do with 24/7. We need to heed the Word of God. We need to do what it says. And third and last, we need to speed the Word. We need to spread it, preach it, give it away, like we did yesterday. I love the water bottles that had Proverbs 25:25 on it and pictures of people's vehicles. I saw people with some blue hands because they were reaching the bottom to get one with the picture of their vehicle from last year on it. And every one of them said, Proverbs 25:25, like a cold drink of water to a weary soul, is good news from a distant land. We need to take the good news to distant lands, and we need to take it to our community. We don't just read it and heed it, we pass it on. We share what we've learned with others, because they need it just as much as we do. They need to know that what we hold in our hand teaches the true path to salvation. How are you doing at sharing the gospel with others? I read a scary statistic this week. A study has shown that 20% of non-Christians in North America do not even personally know one follower of Christ. 20% of non-Christians in the U.S. do not even know personally one follower of Christ. One of the reasons for that is the massive immigration that our country has seen, and people have come from different faiths, different religions, and they don't know, they haven't met one follower of Christ. We need to do better. We need to do better at befriending people that are not like us and take to them the good news of Jesus. The United States is a mission field. And we need to go into that field and offer to others what we hold in our hand. People need to know that God's Word is the true path to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And they need to know that God's Word is God-breathed, trustworthy, accurate, true, and sufficient. They need to know that it's useful for all of life, helpful, practical, worthy of building our lives upon. So when the rain comes, the crash doesn't. So yes, let's go back to school and master the books that our teachers tell us to master. But let us be mastered by just one book, the one you hold in your hand today.